this segment in our series that we began in January. We started talking about the priority of God, which is the kingdom. And Jesus said that God's priority is to seek first the kingdom of God. That is the priority of God. God's priority is not things, it's not religion, it's seek first the kingdom of God. We've been dealing with this for the last 10 months, and in this segment, I want to talk about probably the most important part of the kingdom experience, and that is the process of entering the kingdom. The process of entering the kingdom. Please write that down in this particular session we're doing. It's going to be our focus today. How to enter the kingdom. The process of entering a kingdom. I want to remind you that we have a lot of materials available for you in this series. And one of the things I want to highly recommend to you is that you get a copy of our two important books on the kingdom. The first one is Rediscovering the Whole Idea of the Kingdom, which is the message of Jesus, which has been lost. And based on my research, it has been lost for over 1800 years. The Christian faith, which is a religion, was basically instituted by the Catholic Church. And if you study the history of Catholicism, it's well over 1,000 years old. And that focus of that particular religious institution has not been the kingdom. If you were to read through Catholic doctrine, you read through even the creed, which we have all adopted in the Protestant Church, there is no kingdom focus. Which means that for the last 1500 years, we have not even talked as a primary priority about the very message that Jesus preached. We have been focusing more on a religion. And this is why I released a second book called Kingdom Principles. Because if you understand the concept of kingdom, now you got to learn all over again how kingdoms work. Because that was the concept that God introduced in Scripture. It is the only message that Jesus preached. So learning those principles, and I have over 70 specific CDs that I have been teaching on the kingdom, and they are available to people. And we're so happy that we've seen people purchasing these CDs all over the world. We get orders from many countries. And we are very humbled by that. We got people flying into the Bahamas just to buy a whole set. And the set sometimes can be up to $950. People just buy the whole set because they wanted it to learn the kingdom so badly. And most of these people are actually pastors, which excites me, because if the leaders get it right, say amen, then we will see the people getting the message right. And I want to strongly urge you, if you are not yet passionate about the kingdom, to really ask God in your heart to give you the hunger for the kingdom. One of the things that have happened just this past month is that my first kingdom book has just been released as an audio book. Released in the United States, and it'll be in all the stores next month, where you can get the entire book on audio CDs. And I think this is exciting because people can listen to the kingdom teaching while they drive down the street. And when you're stuck in traffic, instead of getting mad, you get ahead. But one of the things that I wanted to deal with today is, how do you enter the kingdom of God? And what is the focus of this whole process of entering the kingdom of God? What do you do to enter the kingdom of God, and how does it work? I want to first talk a little bit about the Bahamas in this series. And I'm going to talk about the United States a little bit too, because I think the examples are excellent. The Bahamas, number one industry is tourism. And the Bahamas has over 5 million tourists that come here every year. We are only about 300,000 people, which means that more people are coming to us than live here. We are the most successful tourism country in the entire region. No other country in this region receives the number of tourists that we receive in these small islands. Just last week, I was invited to speak to the Tourism Association conference, and there were over 15 government ministers of tourism in that auditorium, and there were over 600 or more tourism directors, professionals from over 30 countries that were present. And I spoke to them on the subject of innovative leadership in tourism. And as I sat there, I was amazed that many of those countries are larger than we are, and yet we are the most successful in attracting people to our nation. Over $1 billion come in every year to this great country of ours just through tourism. We're not talking about banking, which is our second industry, or ship registration, which is our third industry, or even fisheries, which is our fourth industry. But we're talking about people coming here to give their resources to us. Why is the Bahamas so successful? As a matter of fact, I want you to think about something. Why don't people come to Jesus and to the kingdom of God the way they come to the Bahamas? Why isn't there 5 million people coming into the church every year? Why are they more excited about coming to the Bahamas than coming to God? Why are they willing to spend an average of $200 per night per room, excluding taxes? So an average vacation is about $1,500 a week for a couple. Why would they give that kind of money to us? What brings them here? I want you to listen carefully, because I'm going to show you why people don't want to come to God, but they want to come to the Bahamas. The reason for our success is because, listen to me carefully, I'm going to give you a revelation. The reason why we get 5 million tourists coming to the Bahamas every year, and that's growing by the years, is because we do not advertise nor promote the Prime Minister. I can now end my sermon. I'm finished. If you want people to come to your country, you don't advertise the government. You don't preach how good the Prime Minister is. You don't describe the Prime Minister or the President of your country. You don't make sermons out of his personality and his character. You don't describe his lifestyle to them. People don't come here because of our Prime Minister. Most of them don't even know him. They get to know him when they arrive. When I was in Trinidad last week, as soon as I arrived in Trinidad, there was a massive photograph of the Prime Minister in the airport. And next to him was the picture of the governor. I didn't know who they were. If I was a tourist, until I arrived there, I saw who was in charge after I got there. I was in the country, then I discovered who the leader was. Why is this so important? Matthew 6:33 is our foundation theme for this series. Jesus said, the first thing a human should seek is what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means the priority of God is to seek first his kingdom. And notice he says, and there's some benefits when you seek it. All of these what? Things shall be added unto you. I thought it was very interesting that before Jesus invited you to come to the kingdom, he told you about its benefits. He says, why do you worry what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, how you will live, what you will drive? In other words, he dealt with the things you are driven by. He dealt with your interests first. He says, I know you want food and clothes and car and house. You want something to live in. You want to look good. You want to feel good. You want to eat good. He says, I know that. He says, that's what you're after. He says, all of this is in this kingdom. Can I say something that may be a little bit theologically dangerous? I've done this often. He never said, seek ye first me, Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. If we put our prime minister's photograph and his bio and his profile on all of our tourism advertisements, no one will come here. They don't want to know him. That's not their interest. He never said, seek first Jesus. He didn't say that. And yet the church, the religious people, the Christian people, they keep selling the preacher, the prime minister. They keep promoting the president. They keep telling the profiles of how good he is. And that's why the people are interested. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world, and they need Jesus. Not interested. 600 million Hindus in the world and counting. They need God. Not interested. So they collect 6 million of them. 6 million gods. The reason is people are interested in the head of the country. Seek first what? The kingdom, the country. He says, and if you seek the country, all these things. He knows that you and I want things. All right. Here's a picture of the Bahamas. Look at that. I took that myself. Oh, that is so inviting. And if somebody is in Canada now in the snow and they see that, come on, y'all talk to me. 0 degrees and they see a tropical ocean, blue waters, white sand, nice red hibiscus in December. That's why they come here. You don't show them a picture of the prime minister. That's why we got so many expatriates wanting to live here. That's why one of our largest and fastest growing industry right now in the Bahamas is external owners of property. Hope you all wake up on this one. In other words, more people who don't live here are buying up our land because they want to move here because here is better than there where they're from. Why in the world would Saul Kirshner, the owner of Atlantis, could put up a project and sell one apartment with one bedroom for $700,000. And it's 40% sold out already. And two bedroom is $1.10 million, and that's almost sold out. Why would people do that? Because they are living on the beach. Average temperature 75 degrees, we tell them. Ocean filled with pure, fresh, clean fish. No pollution. That's what we sell them. We sell them hospitality, good-looking people with good attitudes. We don't sell them the prime minister. You all listen to me? People don't come into a country because of the leader. I tell you this, write this down. Look what we sell. This is our tourism quote. That's what we sell. It's what? Getting better in the Bahamas. And then one time you say, it is better in the Bahamas. What do we sell? We don't sell the prime minister. We sell what? Sunshine, sand, clear waters, blue skies, warm people, good food. As a matter of fact, here's the bottom line. The secret to attracting visitors or investors or citizens is to promise them the lifestyle, the benefits, and the environment of the country. This is why people are not coming to God. We keep selling them the leader. Oh boy, it's going to be tough now. Jesus never preached himself to the multitudes. Go back and read your Bible. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. He kept finding every single example he could use of what the kingdom is like, he says. It's like a big banquet, he says, that a king was throwing for his son. I mean, think about the picture in your mind of a banquet being thrown by a king for his son. You're talking about golden carpets, silver walls, silver spoons, golden goblets, all the food you can eat, grapes and wine and cheese. You're talking about fresh meat. You're talking about a palace. You're talking about grounds with beautiful trees. In other words, he sold you a picture. He said the kingdom is like a king in welcoming you to a big banquet for his son. Ooh, I want to go to that. He never said the kingdom of God is him. As a matter of fact, he said that he is just the door. Doors are not buildings. That's why your cousin ain't born again yet. That's why the place on your job don't even want to talk to you anymore, because you keep talking about Jesus. They don't want to hear about the prime minister. You keep trying to win your uncle, and your uncle don't want to hear about God anymore. Why? He ain't interested in God. He's looking for food and clothes and water and car and house. And he thinks that your God ain't got it because you broke. You're selling the wrong stuff. I was taken on a private tour in Atlantis the other day. Private tour, very secret tour. I was the only person there. And they took me in the back room. They showed me the future of Atlantis. And I said, people would buy that? For $1 million? A little, copy little thing. They said, almost sold out. They said, what we sell them is not the building. We sell them the amenities. No investor comes here because of the prime minister. Because prime ministers change. Why would someone stake their whole life in a piece of property on Paradise Island or in Exuma? Not because of the government leader. Because they know that they're all temporary. Let me tell you what the government offers, listen carefully please, an investor to make them spend billions of dollars. Here's what they offer them. Stability. Guess what? God says, my throne is forever. He said, when you invest in my country, you ain't got to worry about no coup. His throne is forever. His government is forever. That's important. That's a stability statement. Write this down. Preach the store and not the door. How do you enter the kingdom? We got to get this right. You want to sell dresses. You want to open a dress store. You want to sell dresses, okay? That's your decision. You want to sell dresses. So you get a storefront downtown and you put all your beautiful dresses from the manufacturer in your store. You decorate your store beautifully with all these dresses, put them in the window and everything. And then you take your 60-second ad on the radio and you spend your entire ad talking about the door. You show the door. You show the color of the door, the height of the door, the width of the door. You show them the door made out of mahogany, how it has little nuts in it. You show how beautiful the door is, how heavy it is, the weight of it, the size of it, the width of it. You can answer, come to my door. The door is beautiful. Wonderful is the door. The door is awesome. The door is faithful. The door is everlasting. The door is eternal. The door, the door, the door. You will go broke. Because people ain't looking for door. They're looking for dress. Have you noticed? If you want to sell shoes, you don't advertise the door of the shoe store. Here's what I found out. If you show them your merchandise, they will find the door. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about when you go to Miami to shop. Or is it now Fort Lauderdale? Or is it now Orlando? You're going to hire, and I think it's West Palm Beach now for some people. Eh? Yeah, y'all know. And I mean, Bahamians get lost all the time looking for the door. They know there's a place, there's a Walmart somewhere around here. They could smell it. Now, okay, here's something to remember. When you think of Walmart, look at me now, do you think of the door? Absolutely never. What do you think of? All the things. Ooh, there it is. And you will get lost 10 minutes, 20 minutes to find that door. Once you see the big W, it's like heaven has arrived. Jesus has come down and touched me. Ooh, there's the big W. And you walk in there and your life is transformed. And the anointing comes upon you. You tell them, give me two cards. When you want to attract people, you don't promote the door. The goal is to promote the merchandise, not the door. The message is the country, not the border control. We preach about the border. The message of the country. The country's quality of life and the benefits attracts citizenship. Please write this down. It's very important. This helps you organize, reorganize your programs on your TV, see? It helps you readjust your radio program. It helps you readjust how you witness to people. Your focus should be the quality of life in the country. And the benefits of living in it. Do you know why the Bahamas became the second leading banking center in the Caribbean? Not because of who was prime minister. The benefits of putting your money here for the past 50 years with no taxes is what brought the money here. Now, recently they've been kind of adjusting that and money been going out. Because people don't necessarily like Bahamians, you know. They don't love you, that's why they build here. They love the environment. And that includes no taxes. All right. Luke 16. Jesus said, the law and the prophets have been preached until when? John. Since that time, the good news of what? The kingdom of God is being preached. Now watch this. And everyone, who? Everyone is doing what? Forcing his way to get into that country. Listen, how come the people ain't forcing their way to get into Christianity? They don't want Christianity. Because Christianity is built on a door, not a building. See, when the Muslim talks to you, they compare Muhammad with Jesus. That's why it ain't working. If you tell them, look, let's forget Jesus. What's the benefit of Islam? You sick, you depressed, you poor, you can't find something to eat, you worshiping cows. Come on, let's not talk about Hinduism. So let's talk about Maharaj Bahailullah. Let's talk about the benefits. In our country, we eat cows. In your country, you worship cows. You starving, we fat. Let's talk about the benefits. Hinduism, eh? Talking about the wrong thing, see? People really are not looking for Jesus. You keep telling them they are. They're not. They're looking for things. They're looking for a good life. Oh, listen to me. Now, let me tell you why I want to talk about the Bahamas and America. The Bahamas has one of the most difficult problems in the region. More people are trying to come from other countries to the Bahamas. Our number one issue socially is immigration. Y'all think of this. Why? Because somebody told them, if you can just get there. So they come by boats. They come by swimming. They put barrels with styrofoam and put a little rope on it. We gotta get. They're trying everything just to get. And any land that's called the Bahamas, once they get there, they say, ooh, huh. And they start building little houses on the land. Why? Because someone told them the land, the opportunities, the benefits. If you just get there, your life will change. They don't care who the prime minister is. America's number one problem today is immigration. Now they are talking about building a wall between Mexico and America. Listen, you missed the point. The point is, those people have been told, if you can just cross. See, in Mexico, they didn't advertise Bush. They advertised the lifestyle. If you get in America, you could have all these benefits. So people will risk their lives crossing the desert with rattlesnakes and guns, and they will just say, if I can just get there. And you know what I love about it? When one of their family makes it, I'm talking to someone spiritually now. When you realize how good it is, you send a message back and say, bring the rest of them. If you understand what I say, just clap your hand. Praise God. Let me explain something. That's why Christians don't witness to their family. Because they are not enjoying the land themselves. Christianity is a boring experience. Sing songs, pray. Speak in tongues, pay tithes, go home. Sing songs, pray. Pray in tongues, pay tithes, go home. For 50 years? Oh, sorry, and broke. So you go to your friends, you say, come join me. Experience what I'm experiencing. They say, you're sick, you're depressed, you're broke, your face look ugly. You ain't never always complaining, and you actually joining with me criticizing your own pastor. Now you tell me to come join you. Because you haven't found the kingdom yet. You found a religion. And people don't want a religion. They got their own. Jesus said they are forcing their way.
Is that the last statement?
Who was forcing their way? Read it out loud. Come on, say it loud. You never saw that before. He says, once a person understands what the kingdom is, they will do anything. They'll cross the border at the risk of being caught. They will lose their families, leave them behind in Mexico, leave them behind in Haiti, leave them behind in Trinidad. They will try in Jamaica. They'll try everything. I gotta get there. That means we're not preaching the right thing, because they ain't forcing their way. Let's look at this very quickly. According to Jesus, the most important priority of man, all men, should be the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is the most important thing on earth. And it is the treasure, the pearl, the yeast, the light, the salt of the earth. According to Jesus, this thing is everything. And yet we're not talking about it. We don't preach it. We don't teach it. We preach in a religion called Christianity, built on a man called Jesus. And the folks don't want the prime minister. What I'm teaching is tough, I know. It's going to take a paradigm shift, a readjustment of your entire theology. Because you see, Matthew 6:33, he says, he never said, but seek me first. We keep presenting Jesus, and they're interested. If we presented Prime Minister Perry Christie, we'll go broke in this country. Let me tell you what I like about the Bahamas. The sand don't go away, even after the Prime Minister has changed. Let me try it again over here. These folks listen to me. Okay. The sunshine and the ocean is not government. It doesn't move with the government. When the government changes, the sand don't go away. That's why you don't sell the government. When someone buys a piece of property in the Bahamas, their security is the property don't move. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is the first thing people want to seek. Look at what he says in 34. These are benefits now. He threw in one. He just threw it in. He says, and once you get in, you ain't got to worry about tomorrow. It destroys your worries. What do you think people worrying about right now? Tomorrow. He said, you come to this country, you don't worry about tomorrows anymore. Wow, what a reason to invest in that country. If you get into this country, he says, all your worries, your pressure, your frustrations are over. What a country. So you get in here, he says, tomorrow takes care of itself. Excuse me. Y'all ain't excited. Y'all looking at me like, y'all ain't excited? He said, you come to this country, tomorrow takes care of itself. Let me say it again. He said, if you come into this country, tomorrow takes care of itself. What a country. I know I'm treading on light soil here, but I really don't care, because I'm reading the Bible. He didn't say, if you come to him, tomorrow goes away. He said, if you come to the kingdom, the country, tomorrow goes away. All right. Let's take a look at this. Matthew 13:14. The kingdom of heaven is like what? Treasure. He said, this thing is so precious, you search for it like treasure. What is? Not him, but the kingdom. People, listen. Have you ever seen those movies where they have the treasure map and you got these guys looking for this sunken ship? Man, they go through all kinds of hurricanes and storms and typhoons. They don't care. They try to keep that ship together. Why? Man, they got to find this treasure. And they follow this map at the peril of their own life. They leave their families back home. They leave the safety. They leave all the security. They said, there's a treasure out here somewhere. He said, that's the way the kingdom is supposed to be. You're supposed to go after it at your own danger. Because you know, once we get in, I think about my Haitian brothers who are here this morning. God bless you. Some of y'all got some cousins who come on them boats, and you know you pray all the time. Oh, God, don't let them die. And them boats got holes in them, and the mast and the sails are raggedy, but they're hanging on, and 90 of them in one boat that could seat 30. And they say, I don't care if I can just get there. She said, that's the way the kingdom is supposed to be. Listen to me. He said it's like treasure. Look at this one. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like what? A merchant looking for fine pearls. He said, it's a thing that everyone's looking for. And we keep giving them the wrong thing. He said, when he finds one of great price, he does what? He sells everything and he goes and buys that one. He says, such is the kingdom. Listen, I've heard people say, you know, I meet people all over America. I travel there almost every week. And I meet people, where are you from? Guyana. Where are you from? Jamaica. Where are you from? Haiti. Where are you from? Barbados. Where are you from? St. Kitts. Where are you from? Antigua. I said, but how come you all left home? Boy, I left, you know, 15 years ago, I had nothing. And I came to America. See my car? See my business? My children are in school, getting educated, free scholarship. Is it back home I couldn't do this? Oh, and this is my cousin. He came last month. Huh? And we saved him to bring our mother. Why don't you do that with the kingdom of God? And these people I'm talking to never met Pastor Bush. They ain't sitting President Bush. They ain't sitting. Once they get in America, they figure tomorrow will take care of itself. They sell everything for that one pearl. Gave up their heritage, their history, gave up their country. We missed it. We keep selling him. I know this is tough. Jesus never said in the Bible, he's the answer. That's a song we sing. He never said that. He says, I am the way. Uh-oh. He didn't tell the destination. Okay, let me show you some scriptures because I know some of y'all are having problems, all right? I tell you, I've been incubating this for 6 months. This is heavy stuff. Matthew 6, verse 9. The priority of Jesus. This is his priority. Watch this. Matthew 6, verse 9. This then is how you should pray, he says. When you pray, he says, don't even pray for me to come. And the church been praying for Jesus to come. He said, that's not the prayer. Don't pray for that. That ain't what I want to come to earth. I don't want to come to earth. I came to earth for the very reason of bringing something else. Boy, religion is a mess. Read it out loud. Read. This, come on, out loud. This then is how you should pray. Who's talking? Jesus. Read. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, now keep praying. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth. How? I said, isn't it? He said, that's your prayer. Don't pray for me to come. They focus on the door. Luke chapter 22, verse 29. Now, look at this. He says, I confer on you, out loud please, and I confer on you, not a religion, but a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me. That's a political statement. Every government, when they appoint ambassadors, they use the word confer. When I received my medals from the Queen of England, and I stood there in that wonderful place of dignity, with all those important people there. I stood there. I had to kneel, you know. I knelt down on this thing. And the guy took a little sword, put it on my shoulder. And then he said, I confer on you. He used the word. I confer on you the OBE award of the Kingdom of Great Britain. And when I stood up, I was a different person. They called me an OBE. I went out as a Bahamian Baintown person. Got up as an OBE in seconds. In other words, they conferred on me, watch this, the Order of the British Empire. They put on me the whole empire. You don't understand. See, the Queen of England has the power to give me her kingdom. So when you come into my office, you look at the end up in the lobby, or even, it's right there, I see right there. You can see Elizabeth's name's on that right there. See that thing right there in the lobby, and you go inside, look at it. It says Dr. Miles Monroe, OBE, and see the Queen of England, her signature's on it. She sealed it. That means when I enter England and they see OBE, they do like this. Why? The kingdom just walked into the immigration department. And all of a sudden, they say, this little black boy from Baytown comes into the airport of Great Britain. And when they open my passport, they say, excuse me, sir. See, it ain't me they see. They see the kingdom. That's what he said. I confer on you, he says, a whole country. And that's why when you slap me, be careful. You're slapping a kingdom. When you insult a citizen of the kingdom of God, you're tampering with government. Jesus said, it's better for you to tie a rope around your neck and hang yourself if you offend the least of my citizens. Tell your neighbor, be careful how you treat me. Tell your neighbor, give God $500 right now. A kingdom is not a religion. Matter of fact, here's what a kingdom is. A kingdom is the governing authority and influence of a king over a territory, impacting that territory with his personal will, his intent, and his purpose, which produces a culture of values and morals and lifestyle that reflects the king's desires and nature for his citizens. In other words, a country, a kingdom is a country, and it reflects the very culture of the king and the lifestyle. People want to go to America at the risk of their life because of the lifestyle, not because of the president. They want to come to the Bahamas and live and spend money here and stay up for 2 weeks or 3 weeks and even want to build a house and live here. It's because of the lifestyle, not because of the prime minister. Is my point getting across? So when you talk about coming into the kingdom of God, watch this. It's very important. Every kingdom has this list of things. It has a king, a law, a constitution, laws. It has principles, citizens, army. The kingdom has privileges and rights and culture, economy. Every kingdom has taxes and healthcare systems, educational systems, ambassadors, protocol, and has a society. Christ says, that's what you preach. Go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom. You preach that whole list. Tell them about the country, the lifestyle, the culture, the laws, the principles, the benefits, the privileges. He said, preach that. That's what he preached. He said, you come to the kingdom, you don't got to worry about food and clothes and car and house and land. What a wonderful place to get into. I remember when I was young, my father used to take us to Miami sometime. Ooh, that would be a big treat. 11 of us, one at a time. 11 months, one per month. I remember when I used to go to Miami, I was like going to heaven. Some of y'all looking at me like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. When we landed, I was like, we go to live in this hotel. Name of that hotel downtown. Columbus Hotel downtown, yeah. Flagler Street. Some of them talking about, hey, way back 1970s, 60s, yeah. And then we go in a place and they had, ready for this, buffet. Now, when you're born in Baytown, there's no such idea as buffet. In Baytown, you have to fight for the chicken neck buffet, and you better don't eat with your eyes closed. Don't even pray for your food.
Pray with your eyes open in Baytown. You got seven sisters and three brothers watching your food. Father, I thank you for my food in Jesus' name. And just in case they don't get that, y'all looking so cute. That's all right. I used to breed over mine. You can't touch that no more. Got my germs on my chicken. Anybody here do that? Raise your hand and be honest. Confess with me. Look at those hands. Yes, sir. Man, listen, we were poor, man. Then we went to America. And when you went there, buffet. All the chicken, all the rice. I was like, Daddy, let's just stay here. I felt like on the Mount of Transfiguration. Let us stay here and build three tabernacles, three plates of food, and just stay here. Let mom and them stay in the Bahamas. Let's just stay here. Clap your hands for kingdom experience. See, Sister Angie, you know what I'm talking about. I see you laughing. Boy, listen, going to America was like going to heaven. But Christ said, when you come into the kingdom of God, you sell everything because you found the one thing you're looking for. Very important. Let me show you this. Religion postpones the kingdom to a future experience. And you remember this, you cannot appropriate what you postpone. If you say the kingdom is coming later, you can never experience it now. And so we had to read the scriptures of Jesus, eh? The desire of God is for you to experience and enter the kingdom when? Right now. Right now. And process of passaging into that kingdom is incredible. Let me show you something. That's the Bahamas. Woo! Praise the Lord. That's what we sell. Look at our posters that we sell. I was in New York the other day, and I saw a train pass me with the Bahamas on the side of it. No people on it. Coconut trees. They don't sell you, they sell the trees. There's the ocean was on it. Fish was on it. They were selling the country. I just came from England yesterday. In the airport, big poster, the Bahamas. No people, no prime minister. The ocean. And England was like, 30 degrees. I looked at it and just wanted to go home. You want to get a revelation? It was cold. I looked at the poster and I said, I want to go home. That's the way you should wake up every morning. I can't wait to get into the kingdom today. I want to go into the kingdom. I want to walk in the kingdom all day. What a beautiful place to be. Write this down. The number one goal of all humanity should be to enter the kingdom. What does it mean to enter the kingdom? It's a very important question. Because most of us have been taught entering the kingdom means to die and go to heaven. This is not true. I did my research for the last 30 years and my life has been transformed. Every time Jesus Christ used the word enter, he wasn't referring to dying and going anywhere. Listen, every Haitian in this room, every Jamaican in this room, every Barbadian or Guyanese in this room, when you came to the Bahamas, you entered the Bahamas. Enter doesn't mean just at the immigration dock. It's talking about you began to enter the lifestyle. You began to experience the life of the country. To enter means to pursue and attain citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. Citizenship inherits everything in the kingdom. When you become a citizen, you have privileges and rights to everything in the Constitution. That's entering. Let me tell you why Jesus says the kingdom of heaven has come to earth. He don't want you to die to enter it. He says you pray that the country comes to earth. Listen, friends.
This country we live in used to be Great Britain. Jamaica, you too. Barbadian, you still there a little bit. Turks and Caicos, you there all the way. You still there. And that's why when you come to the Bahamas, isn't this amazing? Watch this. In the Bahamas, even today, we still got some of the kingdom left. Now, some of you visiting us today, you notice, as soon as you landed here at the airport and you came out of the airport, guess what you did? You had to enter our kingdom life. You drove on the left-hand side. You don't got to die to drive on the left-hand side. Just come here. Are you all getting this message? In other words, even though Great Britain is thousands of miles away, it's also here. And when you come here, you drive on the left and you drink tea. You don't need to go to Great Britain to drive on the left-hand side of the street. That's the point I'm making. Just enter where Great Britain has influence. So the heart of God is to make the kingdom your priority, to get into it. Matthew 18, verse 3. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like what? Little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now listen, he didn't say, unless you die, you will not enter. He didn't say that. He says, unless you what? Become like little children. Little children, let me tell you why I used that simile. He said, look, kids just do what they see in the environment. They submit to the environment. A child will play with a snake because the child doesn't know. They just submit to the environment. A child sees a flame, they go toward it. He said, be like a child. When you come to the kingdom, just live like you're in it. Submit to its influence, its mandates, its values, its morals, its standards, its dictates. You submit to it. You just obey. You just do what it says. The difference between an adult and a child is a child obeys, an adult negotiates. They negotiate everything. Feel like a child, he says. Don't negotiate with me. If I tell you stop sinning, stop sinning. We negotiate. Look at this next verse, Matthew 19, verse 17. There is only one who is good. But if you want to what? Enter life, obey the commands, he says. You want to enter kingdom living? He says, obey the laws. You experience the lifestyle. When you go to America, if you want to benefit from the benefits of America, you got to obey the laws. You come to the Bahamas, you can't have your little isolated community off on the side. That's why the government likes to break up communities all the time. In England right now, just yesterday, on my way back, there was a big article in the papers where the Muslim community now is going through stress in England because the ladies want to wear those hoods, you know. And they were talking in an interview, and the guy who was the government from the government, he couldn't understand the person. They had this hood on there, the Muslim hood. And the guy says, I can't understand you. Take the hood off. She said, no, it's my religion. He said, but I can't understand you. So now they're debating in the parliament in England that they can take off all this stuff. Why? They say because you have isolated yourself. You're not being integrated into the country's culture. I'm talking spiritual stuff now. Some of you want to come and live among God's people and live like the devil. Take your veil off. You can't have your little private life and be in the kingdom of God. I'm going to say it again. You can't have your little private culture and be in the kingdom of God. Your little secret culture. This ain't no secret society. You cannot be a private Bahamian. No child. Everybody know you're a Bahamian. You can't say go in privately. or Jokum. And Jokum is natural. That's us. I joke you.
I know you all think you're pastor crazy.
You're right. Matthew 19. He says, I tell you the truth. It is hard for a rich man to do what? Enter. He ain't talking about coming into it. He's talking about experiencing it. Why? Because if you got a lot of wealth, when you enter the kingdom, it becomes the property of the king. And you don't want to give that up. Because in a kingdom, the king owns everything. Is this good stuff this morning? All right, write this fast. Because I want to get at this last point and you're going to get blessed. Kingdom citizenship can be prevented by religion. The most dangerous opposition to kingdom citizenship, according to Jesus Christ, is religion. Religion can prevent kingdom life because religion pretends to be a substitute. Let's read what he says himself. Matthew 23 verse 13. Jesus speaking. He says, out loud please. Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, and you hypocrites, all religious leaders. He says, you shut the kingdom of heaven up. That means you put a wall along Mexico and America. You shut the kingdom up where? In men's faces. Then he says, you yourselves won't go in. You don't want to live kingdom life. And here's the worst part. Nor will you let those enter who are trying so hard to find it. What a verse. Let me just tell you, and I know you've experienced it already, but I just want to tell you that your pastor knows. When you start talking about what I've been teaching, the kingdom of God, check your friends at work. They think you're crazy. So you all got this new religion? You all got this new... See, they think it's... See, why? Because religion says, shut down on them. Lock them up. There's nothing else but Baptist. Nothing else but Pentecostal. Nothing else but Seventh-day, brother. Nothing else but this. Nothing else but Anglican. Nothing. Go back and read the Bible. Amen. Religion will block kingdom citizenship. They won't enter. Think about it now. Your pastor, your priest, your bishop, your apostle, I don't care how many titles they got. Jesus said they will block you. Oh, I had a guy came to me the other day, well-known minister. We met in Southern Florida 2 weeks ago. He said, hey man, so you're the kingdom preacher, huh? Don't do that to me. I said, you're not? And he became very quiet. He said, what do you mean? I said, come, let's sit down and have a cup of tea. I took my Bible in my bag and I showed him the scriptures. He wept. He said, can we meet tonight after the session? I said, sure. And we met. 2 o'clock in the morning, he was still asking me questions. So where did you learn this? I said, right where you got it from. The Bible right in front of you. He said, but how come no one ever showed me? I said, God only shows you what you want to see. See, religion blinds you. He fell on his knees before me in the restaurant. He said, pray for me. I want forgiveness. I've been a pastor for 37 years and I've been preaching the wrong message. Pray for me. I laid my hands on him and prayed for him. He got up, went to the book table and bought one of everything. He said, I got to start over. I said, no, what you're doing is you're finally entering yourself. They would not enter, he says, and then they won't allow anybody else who won't enter. What a powerful, dangerous verse, eh? Okay, watch this. John 3. What's the process of citizenship? I wanted to get this to you. Please write this down. John chapter 3. Now, the guy who Jesus Christ is talking to is a religious leader. His name is Nicky. Nicky came to Jesus at 3 a.m. in the morning because he sat down and listened to this 30-year-old rabbi preaching for months. And he kept hearing this guy talk about this country, this place, this kingdom. And he couldn't take it anymore. And he was in charge of the church, the synagogue. But he couldn't take it anymore. He was already the top of the religious ladder, but he was empty. And he came, knocked on the door. They woke Jesus up. They said, there's a man to see you. He came out and there was the chief apostle, the rabbi, the bishop, standing there. And he said, good master, I know it's early in the morning. Please forgive me for waking you up. Paraphrase. He said, but I've been disturbed. I couldn't sleep. No man speaks these kind of words. You got to come down from God. I've never heard such a message, sir. This kingdom, sir. How do I enter? I'm getting ready to go now. A religious leader is asking, how do I enter? That means wherever he is, whatever he is in, ain't it. Come on, clap loud. Praise God. I told you all religion ain't the answer. The guy was at the top of the Judaic religious ladder. And he knew where I am ain't the country I want to live in. I want to live in your country. Now what's Jesus now? The answer, we've misunderstood it. This is why Jesus, I got to get up here to get away from you so you don't pause me with a rock. Am I high? This is why Jesus never preached born again. He only mentioned it once to a specific question. How do I become a citizen of that country? Jesus said, are you sure you're an adult? You got education? You actually a teacher of people? You don't know how to become a citizen of a country? Hallelujah. Listen to the question again. How do I enter the kingdom of heaven? How do I become a citizen of this country? Jesus, Nicky, how old are you? You're a grown adult. He was shocked. He says, don't you? His answer is very simple. He says, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God. The word see, the dictionary, Greek language, means to experience. Some translations that you may have may say, understand. You can't even understand kingdom life, he says. You cannot experience it. Help me, please, Lord. Unless you are born into the country. This is not a religious statement. I was born in the Bahamas. You know that? Not too far from here. Yeah. I didn't have to become a citizen. Read my lips, please. This is very important. I was born in the Bahamas, so I didn't have to become a citizen. If you were not born in the Bahamas and you want to become a citizen, you have to go through a long, complicated process. But I was born here, and automatically was a citizen. That's why Jesus told the guy, he says, look, the only way, that's why I use the word you must, the only way, say, God, listen to me please, God's a little different from our countries. Ain't no process. In other words, you say, you gotta live in the Bahamas for 5 years, and then you gotta not travel, you know, da 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 da, and then you gotta do all this long stuff. Fill out these forms, you know, Mother 18, da 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 da. He said, no, no, no. He said, look, in the kingdom of God, only one way. We don't want no illegal immigrants waiting around for time. Oh, y'all don't get it. God ain't got no citizens waiting until the process, you know, the doing a little thing. He said, look, either you're born again, or you ain't born. Nicodemus is so daft. That's a British word for stupid. He asked Jesus the question. Master, look at his question. How can I be born when I'm a grown man? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think he misunderstood Jesus? No. No. No, he didn't. The question proved it. That's an important point. Jesus literally told the guy, you got to be born the way he was born the first time. He didn't hear a spiritual, theological confusion. He heard exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, look, the same way you become a citizen of any country, as I become a citizen of my country, you have to be born in the country. So he says, okay, but I'm an old man. Do I go back and be a baby again and go into someone's womb? And see, the guy was asking a logical question because he heard a logical answer. Jesus said, he said, Nicky. Nicky didn't say, surely I can't go back into a woman's womb again and be born all over again. And he heard born again as a natural birth. And that's correct. Let me tell you why I'm making this point. Because we got ministries built on the message of born again. And that's not the message. Could you imagine? In all of our advertising for the Bahamas, we put the Bahamian passport on the picture. Come to the Bahamas, passport. They don't want to come here for passport. Do you know why people want passport? Because they either tasted the country, or heard or saw its benefits. You don't go for passport first. You get information with the country first that makes you want a passport. I'm trying to stop in a minute. Are you understanding me? Please tell me you understand me. Please. See, Nicodemus, it was already too late for him. He already heard the good news for this country. That's why he couldn't sleep. He didn't wait for sun to rise. He said, I got to get passport now. That's a good country. I want citizenship now. He woke the king up and said, I want to come in now. And the king says, no problem. But you got to be born in this country. There are no illegal immigrants. Let's see how he closes this thing. John 5, verse 3, verse 5. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, Nicodemus. No one can what? Enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. In other words, I made arrangements. That's good news. Every one of you in this room and watching this program right now, wherever you are, God has made special governmental arrangements for you to literally be born a citizen in the kingdom of heaven legally. Flesh gives birth to flesh, he said, the same way you was born physically. So the Spirit gives birth to spirit. I have made a arrangement for my country to give you a new birth spiritually. And that's why he says, I am saying you must, not you should or suggest, you must be born again. He's talking about citizenship rights. Natural citizenship is a result of natural birth. And so the kingdom of heaven is a supernatural otherworld kingdom. And that's why the heavenly kingdom citizenship requires heavenly kingdom spiritual birth. And therefore, Jesus has made arrangements for every one of us to be born spiritually to achieve supernatural citizenship in the kingdom of God. When? Now. I am a citizen right now. I was born twice. Did you know that? Born in the Bahamas and born in heaven. Anybody else? But what amazed me is when I was born in the Bahamas, the first thing they did was they took my foot, put it in some ink. You all don't know about that, eh? Yeah, you go to the hospital, they got your foot in ink. And they take the foot and they put it on a piece of paper. Then they put your name in the registration of that piece of paper. And they file it. And they register the birth of the baby in the hospital. That registered copy that goes to the Registrar General in the Bahamas, downtown. That you are a registered birth in the Bahamas. Follow me now. So anybody want to know where you was born? They just check the registry. Conception and birth is a secret, invisible process to the physical eye. When your mother and father was having sex, hopefully it was secret. Y'all talk to me. When conception took place, nobody was watching, I hope, except God. In other words, when the process of birth began, it was secret. Jesus said these words. He said, when you receive the new birth, it's like the wind. No man can see it. Citizenship is not a visual reality, but it's a disposition. Let me tell you something too. John 3:8, verse 8 says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. He's talking Nicodemus. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. When you give your life and surrender your life to the King, and he gives you a new birth, no one sees that. It happens at an altar, in the back of the car, in the bush, in the train, wherever you receive Christ. It was invisible. That's why Jesus never says, you shall see thunder, hear thunder, see lightning and earthquake. He says, just believe. And no one can see you believing. It's an invisible thing. Conception is invisible. Sometimes you walk away, you say, okay, I prayed the confession. I don't feel anything. That's not the point. You ain't supposed to feel nothing. Conception took place. There's no change. I don't see any change. Conception take place. When a woman conceives, her clothes don't change. She don't realize later on until, you know, something's going on here. That's what happens spiritually. When you're born again, you surrender to Christ, sometimes weeks later you realize, you know something, I don't like sin no more. I don't feel comfortable doing this thing anymore. It's showing up. You're born again. That's why it's impossible. You say you're born again and still sinning and enjoying the sin. Now you can still sin, but you ain't supposed to enjoy it no more if you're born again. Sin becomes a terror to you. And when you're sinning, you feel so bad, you start getting sick. Why? That ain't your nature anymore. You've been born from above. Praise God. Can I hear an amen? All nations require birth for citizenship. John 3:12 says, I have spoken to you earthly things, but you do not believe me, says. How then will you believe if I speak to you about what? He said, Nicodemus, I'm talking to you about the same process, but different realm. You can't understand that you need natural birth to be a citizen. How can you understand you need natural birth, supernatural birth to be spiritual? He said the same thing. You're supposed to be a smart man. See, Nicodemus thought he had to go through the rituals, you know? Rituals. Light candles, burn incense, bow down three times toward the west, you know, to the east. You know, say seven prayers, pour some water over your shoulder, you know, drink some oil, splash them on your back, you know, turn around three times, you know, yeah, you know, throw some stuff and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. He said, no, just get born. Religious people like to do things. Just get born, he says. He said, is that it? He said, that's it. Citizenship culture will become the point of distinction. When you're born again, you must go through many hardships, the Bible says, to enter the kingdom of God. When you change citizenships, all the friction starts. So you don't want to go drink it anymore? No, man, I can't do it anymore. Who do you think you are? Hardship. Hey, the girl's getting together, girl. You want to go with us? Can't go anymore. Who do you think you are? From another place now. I changed citizenships. Friction. Hardship. If they cannot tell the difference in your life, you ain't born again. Through hardship, you enter kingdom life. Matthew 13:37. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for what? The sons of the kingdom. The weeds are who? Sons of the devil. You go into work tomorrow, and there's supposed to be a distinction between you and the people around you. From another place. From another country. Can they tell the difference in school when you go to school? In the business room, in the boardroom, is there a distinction between you and the other colleagues in the office? Or on that construction job? You cursing the same words they curse? You enjoying their stories? Is there a distinction? Are you one of the weeds pretending to be a wheat? He says, look, if you're the sons of the kingdom, you're supposed to be distinctive. Citizenship is a public act. I was watching a show the other day where they had a group of Americans becoming Americans, you know, a group of immigrants becoming Americans. And I sat and I went, there's the kingdom of God. They had a room full of people. And then the folks were, it's amazing how they have citizenship in America. Same way here in the Bahamas they do it, but we don't know much about it. They had this big auditorium and all these people down in the center, and they were all dressed in different clothing, and they were all there. They had little American flags in their hands. Up in the balcony was all their family and friends and enemies and all these people. And up on the stage was the governor and the attorney general of the state and all these people. And someone from Washington was there, you know. And they were all there. And what were they doing? Becoming citizens. Guess what? They had the TV cameras. All the media was there. And these people had to lift their right hands and hold the flag in the other. And there was about 700-800 of them. And they had to repeat these words. And they were becoming citizens. And they said, I pledge my allegiance to the flag of the United States and to the country for which it stands. I pledge to obey the laws, submit to all of the privileges and the activities. And they get this whole confession. And I swear this day before all of these witnesses that I reject my former country and I submit to the laws of the United States to become a citizenship. As of this day, I become a citizen. And the guy, everybody clapped, you know, everybody clapped. And they took pictures, click, 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 click. It was a public event. Read Jesus' statement. Whoever, therefore, willing to confess me publicly before men, him will I confess in the head office, before my Father. Come on, give him praise. Who is in heaven? So sometime we may tell you, come forward publicly to give your life to the King. And you sit there going, you don't need to go up. You can do it. Come forward. He said, look, this is a public act. You need witnesses that you changed countries. We got this secret agent, so-called Christians. Just like them homosexuals, closet people. Jesus said, if you are ashamed to confess me publicly, I wouldn't put your name on my register in the head office. Citizenship is a public act. And finally, whoever shall deny me before men, I'll tell my office, I don't know him either. You ever heard this? You actually doing that? I thought you went to BFM. You ever heard this? You actually talking like that? Did you say that? I thought you was a Christian. Even the world expects better from you. You deny him? I don't know him. I hope you say this. I never told you I was a serious Christian. Then he don't know you either. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be a citizen. For it is with your heart that you believe, but with your mouth, you got to make it clear, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. No private issues. God sent me this day into your life to tell you that when you leave this building today, you are supposed to be a distinguished citizen and a distinguishing citizen. You don't act like the other people. You are a citizen of another country. Let's bow our heads together and ask him to change us right now. If you are not in the kingdom of God, I have no greater invitation. If you got to take a boat with some broken planks to come over, come on over. If you got to swim this morning through treacherous waters of pride and selfishness, come on over to this country. If you got to walk from among the thorns and thistles of friends who are sitting around you and people who thought you was already okay, if you got to walk through all of that, brother, make it over and come to the kingdom of heaven. If you got to break up the tides of religion and swim through the tidal waves of doctrines that are ungodly to come to the kingdom of God. Come on over. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your wonderful love. Thank you for the grace that you give us to obey. I pray that this place would be filled with honest people today as we receive your great kingdom. Because all we need is your kingdom, Lord. We leave this place conscious and aware that you have done everything necessary for us to receive a new birth. Help us not to leave here as illegal immigrants, but as naturalized citizens in the kingdom of God, born by the Holy Spirit, born from above, with our name written in heaven, the Lamb's Book of Life. This is your will for us. Just go ahead and just sing this to our King. Tell him all that I need is my King. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
All that I need is your righteousness.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're here today and maybe you are one of those that was described today somehow, and you say, I really want to become a citizen today. I want to be sure I'm a citizen. Maybe you've been in religion, but never understood what you heard today the way you did. You must respond to understanding. I want to invite you to become a citizen for sure today. Lift your right hand and put it back down and say, Pastor Miles, yes, I want to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. I want to be sure I'm a citizen today. Would you lift your hand up? Just put it back down. I want to see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So many hands going up. God bless you, my beloved, my sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you over there. Thank God. Let's all stand together. These people are very, very honest people. I thank God for them. And as we prepare to leave this building, let's rejoice with them. I saw something that was very interesting to me in that process on C-SPAN when those folks became citizens. All their friends were up in the balcony waiting, the families were waiting, everybody's waiting. And when they held the flag up and the Attorney General waved his hand and says, I declare and confer on you citizenship of the United States. The place erupted because you had members of the family who had cousins down there and brothers and mothers who were illegal. And they realized in a matter of a minute they were legal. They went crazy. No wonder why the Bible says when one soul comes back, heaven gets up. The angels began to make some noise and say, we got another one. Well, I'll tell you what, while you're clapping, all those who held your hand up, come on and join me for public confession right now. If you held your hand up, and let your brothers and sisters and your family members cheer you up in Jesus' name. Come on down. I say, come on, folks, give them a big hand. This is Citizenship Day.
All that I need is your kingdom.
Come on, come on, clap for them.
All that I need is my King.
Hey, y'all getting excited with your sisters and brothers coming home?
All that I need.
Come on, young man. Come on, young woman. Come on down right now. Give him citizenship of your life. That's right. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, don't fight it. Come out of that seat right now. Give your
all
life to
that him. I need is your righteousness.
Oh, hallelujah. Everybody shout hallelujah.
Have
come on, give a big shout today. Glory, hallelujah.
nation.
All that I need is my King.
Hallelujah. Oh yeah, all that I need.
All that I need
is your
righteousness.
Yes, Lord, then I'll have everything.
Let your kingdom come.
Because the privileges of the kingdom of God is worth every act of obedience. Every act of obedience. We thank God for these people. Lift your right hand, everybody, please. In America, they got Medicare, the government health system. In the Bahamas, we have national insurance, national health system. See, every country has their health systems. In the kingdom of God, there's a health system. It's called the gift of healing. It's administered by the governor himself who lives inside you right now. I just saw something in the spirit, and I just want to make sure that you get your benefits right now. Every cell in your body that is contaminated by cancer, virus, bacteria, disease, high blood pressure, every single contaminated cell
I command it to come under the government program right now, and that healing, begin to flow from your head right now, down through your back, your body, your loins, your legs, your feet,